This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Cadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, acknowledge that colonization and genocide are ongoing to this day, and that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to Auspol Snack Pod, the podcast where we serve you up bite-sized chunks of Australian politics and news with a side of crispy memes. We're also the official podcast of the Auspol Shitposting Facebook group. My name is Noon, aka I Know Funkenstein. I'm the admin of the group, and with me is my co-host,
Zach the Snack. I'm a mod on the group.
What up, Zach? It's been a little minute since we recorded a show.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. We recorded a double last time, and then I went away for a bit, so Noon and I haven't talked shit about Auspol in a minute, even though it might not feel as long to listeners. I guess on that note, welcome to anybody who came to us via the Tom Tanaki interview. We got a huge spike in listens after that, so thanks, Tom. Turns out it helps out a lot to like collaborate with people more famous than you are.
Yeah, it was also heaps of fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So, yeah, we're kind of back to more what is like our regularly scheduled programming this week. The interview was, hopefully not a one-off, but definitely a departure. But, yeah, this week we're going to be back to talking about a bunch of different stuff. And it's been a big couple of weeks.
There's been a lot going on
in politics. Yeah. I saw it was a tweet from Alison Whittaker, said, what a week in the colony, eh? Which I feel like sums it up pretty well.
Do you want to dive right into our entree, Zach?
Yeah, so this week I wanted to touch back on a story that we've talked about a couple of times on the podcast before, which is the coronial inquest into the death in custody of Yorta Yorta woman Tanya Day. So the inquest has started. I think it started last week. It's been ongoing. Just to catch anybody up who isn't familiar with the stories, Tanya Day was arrested in 2017 for public drunkenness. She was asleep on a train. She was put into a cell to quote-unquote sober up by cops in Castlemaine, a small town in Victoria. And she sustained head injuries after falling in the cell and died later in hospital from the injuries that she sustained there. And this inquest is notable for being the first time in, I think, Australian history, if not Victorian history, that the coroner has allowed the consideration of the systemic racism as a potential factor in her death. So that's kind of what a lot of the inquest has been focusing around. The family has been... the family and the people around them have been tweeting from the inquest, kind of pulling out key bits of testimony. I'd like to draw specific attention to the reporting of Carla Walquist, who is a Guardian reporter, who's been at the inquest almost every day and reporting from there. So
They've got a really good Twitter feed at Calapilla, which we'll probably link the thread, and it's got a lot of really good quotes and articles and other good info about the inquest.
Yeah, she's been doing really great, really good work on this. Look, it's obviously an extremely traumatic experience for the family to have to go back over Tanya Day's death sort of minute by minute and listen to the people who effectively caused her death explain away the decisions that they made.
Yeah.
There was one piece of testimony that I thought was really telling, which came from Sean Irvine, who was the conductor on the V-Line train who first reported Tanya Day to the police, saying that she was drunk and unruly. There was an exchange between himself and the person who was representing the family. The lawyer's name is Morrissey. He asked, "Did you think she would get put in the same cell as someone who murdered someone?" Irvine responded, "No." Morrissey says, did you think what happens when a person ends up in police custody?" Irvin says, "No." Morrissey asks, "Did you think beyond her getting off the train?" Irvin says, "No." So it's
exactly just it. Kind it's, of willful blindness and willful ignorance that leads directly to deaths.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think there's this kind of repeated through line throughout all the testimony from the cops and also the V-Line staff. So V-Line being the rural Victorian train line.
That she was asleep on, yep.
Yeah, exactly. This sort of through line that, like, she was arrested and held in a cell for her well-being in order for, you know, yep. for her to kind of sober up and stuff. Yep. Of course, we know that being placed in custody is the most dangerous place for Indigenous people to be. So it just kind of makes no sense. But obviously, this is kind of the way that colonial logic operates, right? It's like, oh, no, it's for your own safety. This is for your own good. We're going to, you know, incarcerate you against your will
yep.
in order to keep you safe, which is, yeah, I mean, this is, I think, the kind of central question of the inquest. And I know that this has been really tough on the family, as I mentioned, you know, having to sit there and listen to police refer to their mother as the drunk, you know, these kind of really dehumanizing terms. You know, I know it's been really difficult for them as well, kind of financially. They've had to travel long distances to make it to the inquest every day and obviously take time off work and find people to take care of the kids and this kind of stuff. So they have been collecting money on a GoFundMe, which we'll link in the description. And, you know, if you've got any kind of spare change or even more that you can spare in order to kind of help them out with their expenses, I think that would be a really great way to contribute.
I just also wanted to highlight one other thing from the evidence or the inquest that the lawyer asked. In hindsight, do you think you'd do anything differently? And Irvine says, no. Which is just fucking horrible. Like, that, I don't know if he's just trying to cover his ass by denying that he did anything wrong or if he's still just thinks that what he did was fine, or I don't know. It's pretty horrifying.
Well, I think it was Carla Walquist who pointed out that she has never heard anybody answer that question in the affirmative in an inquest yep. before. These are not environments that kind of encourage people to
be reflective or self-critical.
Exactly,
or
can reconsider their actions. Yep. Yeah, yep. That's right. The, you know, this is the state justifying its actions and also, you know, citizens who have this kind of internalized racism that they ultimately can't acknowledge. I mean, Sean Irvin, the conductor on the train who reported her as unruly, was led in questioning by the counsel for the V-Line. And he was, you know, he was asked, like, you know, are you racist? Do you know any Aboriginal people? And he was like, yeah, you know, one of my best friends at school was an Aboriginal person. This, like, super basic and, you know, offensively kind of incorrect understanding yeah. of what systemic racism is. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it does reveal something interesting that all of these people that are being interviewed are like, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I was always acting in her best interest.
Yep.
I didn't even see that she was Aboriginal is another thing wow. that the conductor said. Yeah, I think, you know, it goes to the heart of this kind of misunderstanding of what systemic racism is as opposed to individual bigotry.
Cases of discrimination or whatever, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm sure that it'd be a really hard thing to come to terms with for this yep. conductor in particular, whose job it is not really to deal with this kind of thing. But, you know, he's become complicit in a system and yep. in a death. So I wouldn't expect him to be able to sit there and be like,
yeah, that was my bad or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, ideally he would.
Yep.
He would learn to understand that. But look, go and donate to the family if you can. And now it's time for
Shitpost of the Week.
A little bit of a change of pace here, but moving on to Shitpost of the Week. We have had a really busy week on the page, or a couple of weeks on the Ozpol Shitposting Facebook group. There's been a lot of discussion about Brexit, which is not really what the group's about or for, but is pretty interesting. What with, you know, all this Boris proroguing and so on. But there was one Ozpol meme this week that just I really think stood out. And this is from Hamish Taylor, who is a noted Greens hack, who I don't believe we've awarded Shitpost of the Week to before. So, Haim Tay, good work. This is a meme. It's a photo of Albo with a Snapchat-style caption on it. And the caption says, haha, what if I voted with the LNP on 90% of legislation? Haha, just kidding. Unless... Yeah, it's true. Albo is a useless, spineless, good-for-nothing ex-progressive.
Yeah, what happened to the old Tory fighter?
That's right.
Where's he gone?
Yeah, they lost an election, I think, was the main thing. Yeah. There was also a good comment from Bren, a previous winner of Shitpost of the Week, on this thread, who said, no, don't make progressive policy. You're so sexy. Ha ha. Which is also a meme that in the last couple of months. So anyway, good work.
This is all very 2019.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
Very current. Current meming.
Good work. Cutting edge memes. Good work, Hamish. Good work, Bren.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go into a huge amount of detail about how and why Abbo is shithouse. I think most people probably get it. Although it was a little bit sad. I was scrolling back through like really old posts on the page, on the group, from like 3 years ago or whatever. And there's just, you know, the only time he ever pops up is like, lol, DJ Abbo. Haha.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, now that he's sort of reared his head a bit more and true colors are showing and this new tack is being taken, it's all a bit. It's a little bit upsetting.
Pretty disappointing. Really.
You know, it was all so simple. That's not true. It was always shit. Anyway, what have we got for main course?
Well, because we've been away for a couple of weeks and because it's been such a busy couple of weeks, instead of a main course, we're actually going to have a little bit of a smorgasbord this week. We're going to have a...
ooh, delicious. I love variety.
Breakfast buffet.
Oh, that's my favorite kind of buffet, nerd.
It's my favorite type of breakfast.
Let me get that cold toast.
Some blintzes.
That warm jam. Mm.
Well,
and like really watered down orange juice. Sorry, this has gone on long enough.
So our first little snack on our buffet plate is John Setka. Who?
Yes, solidarity forever.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. John Setka is a disgraced... unfortunately, non-ex-union boss. He's the head of the CFMMEU in Victoria, and he has recently pled guilty to charges of harassing a woman, which turns out it was his wife, and a bunch of other shit. He's basically been... we've talked about him before, and if you've been following Auspol, you're probably aware about him. And the Labour Party, in the last... since this court case came out, has tried to get him kicked out of the Labour Party. And John Setka actually took them to court, to the Victorian High Court, I'm fairly sure it was, to try and get an injunction to prevent them kicking him out. And the court basically took one look at this case and were like, this has nothing to do with us, this is outside our jurisdiction, nah. so I'm not sure if it's actually gone through. I think he might actually be out of the Labour Party now, which is very exciting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Damn. Actions meet consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Ish. Kind of.
I mean, he's now
been a noted misogynist for a while, but yeah. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. We have known for a while. I believe he's now also hired a private investigator to try and find some shit to let him stay on. I don't know exactly what he would be trying to find. Like, other people are just as bad as him and therefore we shouldn't care? Or...
yeah, like, what tack is he going to take? Yeah, can you find something secret out about myself that exonerates
that
me?
Means
or
that when
can
I
you find some dirt on
to...
my enemies? Like, there's no... it's just super innocent person behavior over here. Johnny boy.
Yep.
Yeah, looking good.
So what's our next little snack that we're having today, Zach?
Just wanted to give a quick update on the Djapurung Heritage Protection Embassy, which is just west of Melbourne, where an activist camp is protesting the removal of several trees that are sacred to the local indigenous population, the Djapurung, which are trying to be removed by Vic Roads in order to expand and reroute a highway. And yeah, it's the official eviction date for the camp sort of came and went, and Vic Rhodes was, you know, basically it was like, you have to be out by this date. Djapurung put a call out being like, red alert, we need everybody to come up to camp. And they got a huge response. They had a couple of hundred people up there at camps, which is, you know, normally I think they were kind of...
a couple dozen.
Averaging out at about, I mean, less than 100 for sure.
Yeah.
So it was awesome to see such a huge response to that. And I think basically the cops took one look at that at the size of the camp and was just like, no way. This is going to be just such a shit show if we have to try and evict several hundred activists.
Yep.
A bunch of small actions had kind of been popping up all over the place as well. There was a snap action in Sydney. There was an action at the Vic Roads office in the nearby town of Ararat. There's actions happening in Melbourne. And there's also a fundraiser happening at Lentil as Anything in Thornbury over the next couple of weeks in Melbourne. It's an art exhibition, and all the proceeds are going to go to helping fund the Japurong camp. So cool. If you can't get up to camp but you want to contribute in another way, this might be a good way to do it. So check that out. And if you're in other cities and states, there's all other sorts of actions happening all around the country in solidarity. So yeah, it's really cool to see this kind of blowing up, becoming national news.
Something else that's happened with that is that the Trades Hall, Victorian Trades Hall, has come out in support of the embassy and the protests, which is great. But apparently the people who are contracted to build the road are scab labor and not a union
company. Really?
So,
I mean, that's so classic.
Yep.
That's,
yep.
Yeah. Nice one. It's almost like they saw this shit coming.
Yeah. But that's nice to hear from Trades Hall, who are, you know, you always want them to be a force for progressive stuff, and they just don't always quite make it.
This is a really good development.
A little bit of bad news as well is that there was an arson attempt. Someone tried to burn one of these sacred birthing trees, which is just absolutely horrifying. It's not clear who it is.
So fucked.
And police have, you know, sort of said, oh, we're looking for information, Crime Stoppers. But, like, somehow I just... Call me cynical.
You don't think it's the top of their priority list?
Maybe the police aren't super concerned about finding out who it was.
I'm frankly shocked to hear this kind of anti-police sentiment from you, mate. This is pretty uncalled for, pretty out of line.
As making any accusations, I'm not claiming anything in specific. I'm just going to say, if it turns out that it was a cop who lit the fire, I will not be too surprised.
Noon, look, okay, who are you going to call if you want someone to show up and evict you from your land or arrest you for a crime you didn't commit, huh?
That's a really good point.
Yeah, so think about that next time before you shit on the boys in blue. what's the next tasty treat on our smorgasbord?
This is some frozen pastries from Aldi.
Delicious!
100,000 frozen pastries from Aldi.
$2.99.
That
is a bargain. There, you'll find them right next to the unicycles and the saxophone. That's a little Aldi joke.
We're just having a little chat off mic before about how Aldi really represents Australia's like slightly crappy national spirit. You know, they're just a bit mediocre, but we all love them.
They're German, but kind of like ABBA, they're really Australian, you know?
And their beers, they're like the leftovers from all of the other breweries that they mix together.
I've never tasted a beer that tastes more like aged cheddar cheese.
Look, this isn't actually a story about Aldi. This is a story about New South Wales Labor being corrupt again. Fucking surprise. Allegedly corrupt. Allegedly corrupt. I've had several people warn me about getting in trouble on this show by not saying allegedly.
Yeah, I think we've committed several acts of defamation.
Acts of defamation, yeah.
Yes.
So what allegedly happened was that Huang Zhengmo, who has since then been banned from entering Australia because of his alleged crimes, he's a Chinese-Australian property developer, and it's widely considered that he's one of the big influences in favor of the Chinese government in Australia. And in New South Wales, it's illegal for political parties to accept donations from property developers. It's also illegal to accept money from foreign governments. And so when Huang Zhengmo turned up to like an ALP function with this Aldi bag with $100,000 worth of cash in it, everyone was like, this is totally fine.
cool.
Yeah. So basically they allegedly processed this money as if it was a series of $5,000 donations from a bunch of other people. And this has all come out because there's an ICAC inquiry. ICAC is the Independent Commission Against Corruption. Is that what it's called?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. I think that's just wrong and it's going to bug me. But anyway, the Anti-Corruption Commission in New South Wales, and they're the only one in the country that like is half decent. In Victoria, we have IBAC, who are fucking useless. But ICAC, pretty effective. And so someone gave evidence saying that he donated 500 and then was really surprised later on when he looked at the registry and saw that he had apparently given 5,000. And he was like, oh, that's a bit weird. But the
extra zero could happen to anybody.
The head of New South Wales Labor, someone named Kayla... Oh, what's her name? I should have looked this up. Kayla Murnane, that's it, yeah. She has given evidence at ICAC where she basically said that she saw this $100,000, went to the ALP lawyer and was like, hey, I saw this $100,000. What should I do about that? And allegedly he told her, forget about it. Don't write it down in your diary. Just don't say about anything about it to anyone. And she was like, all right.
Seems legit.
So she's actually been booted out of the Labor Party already, but apparently she found out that from media reports, because it's legal for Labor to contact someone who's a witness in an ICAC inquiry. So she got kicked out of the party, but they couldn't tell her that they kicked her out of the party.
That's amazing.
So that's basically the whole story, but I just wanted to... pass on one little tidbit that I got from a commentator who said, who's a reporter reporting on this inquiry, who said that basically this, you know, it's a pretty big scandal, but it's not a huge scandal because Labor still lost the election, the most recent New South Wales election. If they had won the election with this $100,000, this would be a huge drama and there would be people, you know, resigning left, right, and center. But because they lost, no one gives a fuck.
Saved by their own incompetence.
Yeah, it just goes to show how fucking useless they are.
Not only are they useless as a political force, as an and just as like a functional organization, but like
not
also
even
they're extremely bad criminals. Yeah. Which is really, you know, those are the three things that you'd kind of want to be good at if you were going to be a political party. But oh well, you know, it's a matter of perspective, I guess. You gotta follow your dreams, even if maybe you're not best suited to that particular role. Good job, Labor. Shout out Aldi for your high quality, reusable shopping bags. Appreciate that. Next up, we were going to chat a little bit about Pauline and her adventures to Uluru with the camera crew in tow. She went up there with a current affair who may or may not have paid for her trip. They won't say.
Huh.
She gave it a red hot go getting up to the top there. I think she made it 40 meters up.
Yep.
Yeah. Then
seemingly had
a
panic attack or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, she like completely freaked out and needed to be helped down. Well, like I mean, she
I thought
has,
it was just a physical thing.
She didn't say that she had a panic attack, but like I think that's widely accepted to be what happened.
Oh wow! Okay, all right. Well, you finish off the story then.
Sure. Well,
you know more than I do, clearly.
She also claimed that she's indigenous during an interview about why she was climbing Uluru.
As part of the episode, yeah.
Yeah. And now that she had that unpleasant experience while climbing Uluru, she has sort of said that she thinks that maybe it might be sensible to ban people climbing Uluru because they might get hurt. She's definitely not doing it because she cares about indigenous sovereignty or not destroying a national, international heritage listed site, anything like that. Obviously, those are terrible reasons. It's because people, and obviously it's only going to be basically white people who are climbing Uluru.
Might get stuck.
They might hurt themselves. So
might slide down. See, this is why I have this kind of argument with people occasionally about like the nature of single issue campaigning, for example, and people try to tell me on occasion, oh, it doesn't matter what someone's motivation is. If they're ultimately ending up in the right place and have the correct position, you know, it's fine. We should just, we should use that anyway. It's like, yeah, I mean, maybe, but also it seems like Pauline's concerns would be allayed by like installing a fucking
safety rail.
Button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or an escalator maybe on Uluru. In which case you'll find yourself, you're on the opposite side of the argument to her again. Excellent content from Pauline.
Yep.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's the only positive thing that I'm ever going to say about A Current Affair, but like, I'm happy that they brought us that content. We got that amazing clip of her talking to a few Indigenous kids, and it's fucked that she was allowed to do that, by the way.
Yep.
That, you know, you're allow like an explicit avowed racist like to just chat to some Indigenous teens, but whatever. She was like, if Australia isn't my homeland, then where is? And this young woman looked back at her and said, England? And, yeah, just fucking get wrecked, Pauline.
Yep. Like, what did she expect them to say? Anyway, whatever, it's fine. We don't need to interrogate the internal logic of idiot racists.
No, we don't. They suck. Don't climb Uluru, you fucking idiot.
Yep.
Because you literally can't, physically. You can't do it. So just, amazing. Like, why I'm going to do this to make a point and
completely failed to make that
and
point.
And she was like, she tried to blame it on her boots. She was like, oh, my boots, they're old. You know, they don't grip very well.
Boots aren't racist enough.
Anyway.
That's enough about that. Now we're going to move on to an equally bad story.
It was the best of
takes.
It was the blurst of
takes.
You stupid monkey.
Well, this isn't necessarily exactly a take, so I think we might need to just, for this week, sort of temporarily rename this segment Blurst Human.
I'll redo this thing real quick.
It was the best of
humans.
It was the blurst of
humans.
You stupid monkey!
Much better. It's seamless.
Who's the blurst human?
Chris fucking Yulman. Okay, so if you don't know, he's a previous ABC journalist who now works for Channel 9, who he used to be the ABC's like token loud conservative. I mean, obviously the ABC is like full of fucking enlightened centrist galaxy brains who there are too many to list. But Chris Yulman was really the like far right just jerk of the bunch. And this week he's continued this proud tradition. He tweeted a photo of a sign that says, PMNC is committed to staff inclusion and diversity. Please use the bathroom that best fits your gender identity. PMNC being Prime Minister and Cabinet. And Chris Yulman has tweeted, meanwhile, at the Barton offices of Prime Minister and Cabinet, ... Clearly, because he hates trans people. And so,
Definitely not a coincidence that he's tweeting this so soon after Victoria has passed this birth certificate reform.
Yep.
It means that trans people can change the sex on their birth certificate without having to have gender affirmation surgery.
Yep.
So he can't stand seeing trans people get a win, and so he's just got to put the boot in a little bit.
And he tweeted this out while Scott Morrison was doing an interview on 2GB with Alan Jones, I'm fairly sure. And Jones asked him about it, and Scott Morrison basically said he would, quote-unquote, sort it out.
What the fuck does that mean, wanker?
Someone on Ozpol shitposting, Mac Mohawk, said that the government actually has an obligation to have bathrooms for two genders, and also a third option for people who can't use either of those bathrooms or don't feel comfortable using either of those bathrooms. So it seems to me that I haven't actually double-checked that statutory requirement or whatever it is, but it seems to me like this little plaque that says, please use the bathroom that best fits your gender identity, might be the the easiest
lowest
way,
effort,
lowest
yeah.
effort way to like acknowledge
it's just a shitty little printed out sign
people.
And they've stuck it on a pre-existing bathroom being like, yeah, please use whichever toilet best suits your gender identity. So it's like, I don't know, for Ullman to be complaining about this, like, Jesus Christ, he's gonna have an embolism when they actually have like fully printed out proper like embossed signage.
Yep.
It says this toilet has cubicles in it. This toilet has urinals in it.
Yeah,
take your pick. And as many people on Twitter have pointed out, how does he use the gender-neutral bathroom at his own house?
Yep.
Making assumptions about his home life there, but whatever.
Mm.
Fuck you, Yulman.
Yep.
Get out of here. You're the blessed.
Okay, well, that's us for the week. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And this week, we launched our Patreon, and which is a way that you can donate to the show. And it's been wildly successful. Compared to what we were expecting, honestly.
Yeah. To put it into perspective. we were expecting like to get maybe $10 a month, and we've had a number more people than that come and give support, which has been so nice. It's just really, really lovely that people you know, believe enough in what we're doing to support us financially, which is great. We can now pay for our podcast hosting, which is amazing, and we're going to start saving up for some bits of better gear, which is going to be really exciting. So thank you so much to everybody who's donated. For those who haven't joined up yet, if you sign up for $1 a month, you'll get a bonus episode every month.
We're going to do first bonus episode this week, so keep an eye out for that coming up soon.
Yeah, and if you give more money, you get more stuff, including telling us what to say on the bonus episode and that kind of thing. And we've also got a goal. I think it's if we hit $100 a month, we will do the bonus episode fortnightly instead of monthly. So if you want even more content, sign up and we'll make it for you.
By the way, so our $50 goal, we said would make a steamed hams video, which we are planning and plotting. But because we are currently like thousands of kilometers away from one another, it's going to have to wait a couple of weeks. But don't worry, we haven't forgotten that. We are going to follow through on it. It's just going to take us another couple of weeks to get there.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you can check out the video that we did for our $20 goal, which we promised we would make a video of our dogs being cute, set to In the End by Linkin Park. And we followed through, and I personally am pretty proud of the results.
It's pretty good.
yeah, so check out the Patreon, if only for that cute video. Thank you so much for tuning in. It really means a lot that you listen to the show. This week was new and different for us because it's the first time we recorded in different states. So, you know, look, I honestly feel like it was a bit of a mess, but that is
all part
of the fun. We have
run slightly over time.
Yeah, quite. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Catch you next week.
Yeah, keep on snacking in the free world.
Crunch, crunch.